Hey guys, my name is Alex, and you're listening to the Thousand Movie Project podcast, listening to an episode I'm recording on my birthday, hence the absence of a script, which is likely to become apparent, like, very quickly, because I ramble. The reason I didn't draw up a script is because I spent, you know, the bulk of yesterday and this morning tinkering with the sample of the ebook that I'm uploading to my Ko-fi page, or Ko-fi page. It doesn't have a title, it's a very long personal essay, and yeah, it's gonna be up there, it's free, you can pay what you want, you can be $0, $1, $5, whatever. And I'm just glad to be putting it there. I know there's still a lot of issues, and I'm gonna be cringing as I find them over the next couple days, but I feel like it's important to put it out there, to be shared with whoever wants to look at it. Not only that, actually, but to, like, advertise it, to mention it. There's a novelist I really like named Mark Z. Danielewski, who had a kind of disastrous experience with a 27-volume novel he was trying to write. It got canceled after the fifth volume, and his career, which was on, like, a high note of cult popularity status, it kind of took a dark turn, and things seemed really unstable for him for a while, and he made a remark about not being able to pay his mortgage one month, but at the same time clinging to his integrity and refusing a check that would have sold the rights to one of his novels in perpetuity. And in the interim, he's posted a lot of short stories and just various creative things on his website, and you can buy those as PDFs for $3 a piece, which is a really cool model. But it started out with him posting those things for free, and he's got a small, tight, very loyal army of readers, and they flocked to these things immediately. And there was a general, like, chorus, a general agreement that we all kind of wanted to be, we wanted at least the opportunity to throw him a few dollars. He did end up establishing some kind of tip jar thing, I think. I forget how that worked out, but it was interesting to feel that on my own end, even as, like, a broke reader of this guy's work. It felt wrong. It felt kind of sad to see him giving away his work for free and not knowing if it was because he'd reached some point of, like, weird non-conventional inventiveness that he couldn't get these things published anywhere. I know, for instance, he wrote a short story that was tailored to the layout of the New Yorker magazine. It was about mazes, and the text did all these weird bendy things. It's a remarkable thing to look at, and he put it on his website for $3, along with a note saying that the New Yorker had rejected it. But there was a lot of integrity in the way that, you know, some of the things he posted were teleplays, and those teleplays, pilots for a TV show, were never adapted. And here he's posting short stories. I think he's posted three of them that never sold on a magazine market. And rather than just being defeated by those failures and taking them as a verdict about the readability or the quality of what he's created, he just put it online so that the people who have already established an interest in supporting him can, like, support him to their heart's content. So I'm opening that channel up there on the Ko-fi thing, but I do think that that's one of, like, the title changes that I kind of feel going on under the surface. Turning 33 does feel different. I know it's an unremarkable number, unless you're, like, super Catholic, because that's the age when Jesus was crucified, and also, according to Dante, it's a very sacred number because it's the Trinity twice. But if you're a normal person, it doesn't mean anything. It's just another year gone by. But for some reason, a situation that is detailed, a very personal situation that is detailed in that sample, that essay sample that you can find on Ko-fi, you can pay what you want. Because of that, I'm definitely going into this year, I don't know, I'm always kind of reflective on my birthdays. And what the past 2 years have cemented, the past 2 years have been, like, great, because I'm living with Marie, actually each year better than the previous one. And I don't know, I've gotten sort of stamps of validation that I've never had before, but there've also been, like, these cataclysmic setbacks that I never would have anticipated. And the fusion of those two things, where on the one hand, there have been a number of occasions where the outside world, the larger apparatus of, like, I don't know, the gatekeepers, whatever, they have sort of poked their head into my door in some metaphorical respect and been like, hey, I see what you're doing there. It's interesting. Like, for instance, the fact that I could, even if the people who join me, even if the authors who join me on the podcast for interviews are not listening to the show to see if it's something they want to take part in, I've obviously crafted something where I can at least present it as, like, a legitimate thing, and they'll give me their time on the basis of how I present it. So there's been a great audience with the podcast, and there's been engagement with the literary world, these authors whom I've read and respected and admired for years, and those seem like, again, I'm belaboring this metaphor, they seem like stamps of approval. And yet at the same time, like for the past year or so, I've been pursuing like a legitimate writerly career, not just like retreating for a year at a time and coming up with a book and then trying to submit that and sort of edge my way into the gates. I've been reaching out to magazines, speaking with editors, making pitches through the very traditional, laborious, disheartening pitch fucking avenues. Early in 2024 is when I really started to take that seriously, in like January and February. And it's just like submitting to literary agents. You draw up a pitch, you come up with reasons why it fits for that particular organ, that particular publication, you send out your pitch, and then more likely than not, you wait to hear back nothing. Like, you wait to receive their silence in your mailbox. And usually after 4 to 6 weeks, you're free to sort of take your pitch elsewhere. But there's something more than disheartening about getting into that routine of like, hey, let me work on something, whether it's a book or an article, get my ideas straight, if not write the whole thing, and then spend a lot of time figuring out how to pitch it, and then how to personalize that pitch for a particular publication or a particular recipient, and then send it out and receive silence. Like, it's more than dispiriting, it comes to feel kind of degrading. Not because the people on the receiving ends of those things are like debauched or mean or whatever. They are sympathetic figures, they are inundated with submissions. They cannot possibly answer all of the correspondence that they receive. I've really fought off the idea of pursuing like indie shit, but this was the year, particularly in February and March, where I was like, why am I sort of sanctifying this abyss? I feel like I'm standing at the mouth of this like vast, black, abysmal cave, and I'm wearing like a hula skirt, and I'm shaking maracas, and I'm doing some kind of provocative dance, trying to lure out a monster or a wizard who's gonna just, you know, give me a yay or a nay and accept me into some higher realm. I don't even know what the fuck. Dude, when I signed with my agent, this is getting off topic. To give you an idea of just like how this thing works and how I'm starting to reckon with my own approach to it, when I signed with my agent 2 years ago, or almost 2 years ago, we had a conversation where she was like, apart from the book that we're currently submitting, something we ought to talk about is like your career. And I was like, what do you mean? Because when you get to working with a publishing house, you know, they're publishing one of your books, you get an opportunity sometimes where they will add you to like a list of their stable of in-house writers, which means, let's say hypothetically, Pauly Shore or Alec Baldwin wants to write a memoir, and their agent will set up a conversation with a publisher, and then in that meeting, the publisher will say, here are a number of our sort of in-house authors with whom we can pair you as a ghostwriter. And so my agent was explaining that to me and a number of other things, and all of it was so new to me, and I like couldn't make any decisions at the moment. And then it was only afterward that I realized, like, getting an agent has for so long seemed so outlandishly unattainable. It literally never once occurred to me to think about any aspect of a writing career beyond that. But it's like if someone had locked me in a room with a grizzly bear and they handed me a pocket knife and they were like, all right, go kill that grizzly bear. It's really upset. Also, while you're at it, give some thought to where you want to go for dinner. And when you discuss it with people who are kind of in the know, and they'll say like, yeah, that's how publishing is, that's how the literary world is, nobody has spite toward anyone else about it or resentment, it's not a personal thing, all that is absolutely true. But what I'm realizing is just like the extent to which what those habits and protocols manifest is a complete abdication, a complete surrendering of your fortune, like your professional fate, to the attentiveness of other people, the commitment of other people, most of whom are strangers to you, the intelligence and the abilities of those people. Dude, the fucking moods of those people. Who knows the mood in which an editor to whom you've just submitted a pitch that you've labored over for hours and hours, God knows it's perfectly understandable if they're really exhausted when they read it, if they just had a heavy lunch and they don't sleep very much because they're an underpaid editor living necessarily in the most expensive city in the world. But I don't know. Not because like I love the idea of doing indie things, am I kind of tilting my sail in that direction? And it's not out of resentment for like the status quo of the publishing industry. Lord knows I'm still trying to get in there. But when you, I don't know, maybe a birthday is the occasion that this kind of thing would come to mind. When you start thinking about where you're headed and, you know, how integral these creative projects are to sort of the formation of your identity, it becomes clear that if your professional advancement, if your ability to move on from a particular project is predicated on the availability, the interest, the moods of strangers, what you're doing is you're sort of abdicating responsibility for yourself. And yes, there is absolutely a degree to which your success in a given field, whether it's writing or music or carpentry, whatever, is predicated on the participation of other people. Like, can you find clients who are willing to pay you for services even though you have no reviews? Can you find readers who are willing to give you the time even if they find your book for free? And you're even less likely to find publishers who are willing to put money behind you even though you've never demonstrated commercial viability before. That kind of success, commercial professional success, is largely predicated on the allowances that strangers will give you. On the other hand, what is predicated entirely on you and on your integrity and your work ethic is what you produce. And if the artistic choices you're making are constantly being skewed toward what might be more desirable to those strangers in a distant city who are going to open your email and read, you know, the first paragraph, that doesn't make sense, right? To spend 8 months or a year writing something, laboring over it, investing it with a lot of really personal shit, only to be told, you know, the pacing isn't right. Not that that's not a viable complaint, especially, naturally, from the person who's going to be putting up money to make sure it becomes a viable commercial object. It's just not the kind of thing that, when I look back, I want to have to say to myself, oh, the reason I never pursued that big project that I had an opportunity to pursue, and that I had a yen to pursue, is because I was afraid that strangers who live not only in another city, but in another world, kind of, might think that this very personal thing I was writing would not be sellable to other strangers. But at the same time, like, I can't just be a fucking bag boy forever. So I don't know what the fuck. Like, I gotta figure something out. I'm taking steps toward that. Very decisive steps. This ebook that I'm sharing with you here on Ko-Fi or Ko-Fi, that is not like a model of where I'm trying to go. I have some ideas. I'm going to be implementing some of those ideas in the imminent future. Nothing brings me as much joy as a day spent being like creative and constructive. So yeah, I'm spending my day just writing and editing and recording so that at the end of the day, when I settle down, I'm gonna feel accomplished and satisfied. But I'm not like fiending toward accomplishment. I'm just like leisurely recording shit that's not like too tailored, not too manicured. I'm tinkering with the last bit of that ebook. And yeah, talking to you. So I'm gonna leave it there. I was gonna read a sample of the ebook, but fuck it, man. I'll do that tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm also gonna dose you with some fucking Nike facts. Did not expect this to turn into the kind of rant that it did. Also, though, because it's my birthday, share the podcast, and if you can, review it somewhere. Apple Podcasts, I don't know if iTunes still exists. Spotify, I think, now allows some reviews. Anywhere you can do it, it really makes a difference. I would really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next time. Thank you.